What the Lord had given me to speak about tonight is the same thing that we just said a while ago and done. We have a God that knows ahead of time, plans out words that we didn't get together and say, you say this and you say that, but it's just followed step by step by step, and God's leading us into a place where when by the time we get through with this tonight, we ought to know something more about ourselves and our relationship with the Lord. I know that everyone in this building right here is saved and full of the Holy Spirit. And it's not that you're not, this lesson is not about being filled or unfilled. This lesson here, this word that I've got right now, it's about getting a deeper and closer relationship with Jesus. One that breaks you down, where you can have a gut-wrenching experience and feel the presence of God upon you so heavy that you can't hardly stand it. We need more of those in our prayer closets. We need more of that in where we're going to be at, or wherever it's at. I don't care. You might just break down one day in Walmart and go to bawling and crying, and people's going to ask, what's wrong? And you won't be able to speak except raise your hands and just be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord gave me in Psalms 91, and it's about the security of the godly. How many of you know that the devil is attacking the godly? He's sending he's got demons and he's got angels on his side too to come to afflict you and to put you down and make you have doubt and make you have just drought. You work hard all day and then you come up here, as Kenneth said, and you're tired and you don't want to be here sometimes because you're just tired. But let me tell you, press on and press on through, because God's got something on the other side for you, for me. I'm as guilty as anyone about missing a day or two sometimes, and God's telling me, stop that. Stop that. You want the fullness of my joy? You want the fullness of my of feeling like your everything is coming together and everything is good? If you want all of those kind of things, then you're going to have to do something for me, and that's to show up. It says in the first verse, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who? He that dwelleth, living, he that dwelleth has a place to go to. He that is willing, he that dwelleth in the secret place has something to say, something to be around, and he's got God there to protect him every step of the way. Because he says he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We never get out of it. I know that it says in there's no variable or turning of darkness, but there's no shadow that you can escape, because God encompasses you all around. If you will let him do that, if you'll let him do what the walk before you, he said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I know that we know things are going on in this world right now, especially in schools and our children. They're being taught things that are terrible. They're calling these things good, and when we know that they're evil. Schools come underneath a mandate that sometimes they are restricted to what they can and cannot do, and maybe their personal beliefs is they don't want to, they don't agree with it. But if they don't agree with it, then the schools get shut down or whatever else might happen. And the thing is, though, we need to be on God's side, and God will take care of the rest. Come against those things that would cause damnation to our children, because they don't need to be there. They don't need to be in that situation where those things are coming against them. He says, for surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall uncover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. He gives in two pieces of equipment there. A shield is something that you can block blows from, but the buckler is something you can use as a weapon. He expects us to stand up to those things when they start coming against the God of all, I'm talking about the I am that I am, when they start coming against him, when they come against the Alpha and the Omega, they're going to have a rude awakening of what's going on. They really will. When God comes and he takes his people, there's going to be some people left behind wondering why they're left behind. Because they thought they were church, they went to church, they did this and they did, but they wasn't seeking a deeper relationship with the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that God is trying to get us to get a deeper relationship with him than we've ever had before. We want to go to that next level, then we're going to have to go to the level that Jesus wants us to go to. Where he peels that away and we got a blessings coming our way, and we got understanding of who he is and deeper revelation on that. And joy comes into your heart because you feel that groundswell just comes up inside of you. And you just sometimes break down. How many of you ever just been going down in with your car driving and break out in tears because the presence of the Lord was so strong? That's what I'm talking about. I want the presence of the Lord so strong in me that when I'm walking, I'm speaking in another language. When I'm going into someplace else and break out and speaking in tongues, and people are saying, "Who's that nut over there?" They can say, "It's me." I'm not doing it to show off or show out. What I'm doing is the presence of the Lord rested upon us so strong that it had to show its way out. Had to. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. And it has to have some place to go and some kind of speech to do it with. God is calling for us to be ministers, to be priests, to be kings, to go against the evils of the devil. And I tell you right now, we also have angels also. The devil's got his demons and got his imps and all of those things, but God gives us ministering angels to take care of us. I don't know, I'm not talking about worshiping angels, but I'm talking about we need to recognize angels when we see one, or sometimes they're caught unawares is what they say. I believe with all my heart that I've come in contact with angels at least 3 times. And everyone, it was about being obedient. Being obedient. When I was on a bread route one time, I didn't have much cash money on me, but I wanted to buy a Coke, and I had just enough to buy a Coke pretty much. And this gentleman walked up this alleyway, and there was nowhere he could go this way or that way. It had to be straight in. And he never said a word, and God told him, said, "Give him the $5. At least I thought that's what the Lord was saying. And I heard, I was trying to say, no, that wasn't the Lord, it was something else. Because I wanted that $5 for a coat. And he kept digging around in there, and God told me to give him the $5. Never said those are the exact words. He said every time exact words. And I said, "Lord, I need that. I won't get no cash till further up the road." He said, "Give him the $5. So I walk over to the man that's digging in the trash behind Brookshire Brothers in Jasper. And he's got a stick, and he's poking around in there, and he quit, and he turned around, and he kind of looked at me, and he ain't never said a word. And I said, "The Lord told me to give you the $5, this $5. And he turned around, he took the money, turned around, and walked off, and never said a word. And I got to thinking, I had walked back over to my truck, sit there, and I got thinking. And I went around to see where he was at, and I couldn't find that man nowhere, and he didn't have time enough to get out of sight. And I believe with all my heart, God wanted me to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll give that man $5. $5 ain't nothing. But it was the act of obedience that the Lord was looking for. Would I be willing to give this man, or say, "Well, he's probably spent it on something else, or he's probably done it on this." But I tell you, if we'll just obey God and do what he's called, we can live in the shadow of the Almighty and not feel guilty. Because he's the one that loves, and he's the one that loves us so much. He loved us so much, what, he gave his only begotten son, that all should be saved. It says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, and nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in the noonday. And 1,000 shall fall by the side, and 10,000 by the right hand, but it shall not come near thee." No matter how much destruction, no matter how many things that might be formed up against you, nothing shall come nigh me. Nothing shall destroy me. Even if you said, Fear not who can destroy the flesh, but fear him who can destroy the soul. Our life is not in these in these earthen vessels here. Our life is not in these earth. Our life is in our spirit when we get changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's where we're at. We're not going to be the same thing. We may look the same. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be, but I know there's going to be a difference in us. And I know, and you know why? Because you can feel a difference in yourself the closer you get to the Lord right here. When you get close to the Lord right here, you can feel his presence coming up to you. It says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked, and their rewards are going to be death and destruction. Because thou which has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. I'm not moving out. I'm not just passing through and taking a rest stop in the Lord's presence. I'm building my house in his presence. Wherever he's at, that's where I want to be at. And you know, he said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also. So if it's an establishment of congregation, and that's why it's so important that we do have a congregation here. Some people say, well, I can go to church and I can, or not church, I can go and listen to it on my TV, or me and God's got a deal going on. I don't bother him. He don't bother me. And those kind of things. And you run into people like that and you think, my God, they think they're saved, but they're not. They think they're going to be okay, but they're not. They're going to be those who knocked on the door of Noah's boat and trying to get in, and they're going to be left behind. They're going to be the five foolish virgins that didn't have enough oil in their lamps. God's given us a time, and he's given us the opportunity to come closer to him and be in his presence. But that day is shortening and coming quick. And are we going to be ready when that day comes? I want to read something to you about out of Colossians, if y'all don't mind. Starting in chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. You know what is really good? Is seeing people that were fruit of your work, your testimony, that they gained that, but then also they got fruit of their own too. That's fruit that keeps on giving. Knowing that you've spoken to, you maybe to your children or to your brother or to your sister or to your aunt, to your husband, to your wife, and God gives a fruit to that, and then they come out and give fruit also. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than to have a good crop, to have a good, you know, more. If you just got one tomato out of 1,000 out there, that's not much of a, don't do no good. What you want is all the 1,000. You want everybody saved. For all this cause, that since that day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, for the desire that it might be filled in the knowledge of his will, all wisdom, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to the glorious power unto the patience and long-suffering unto fullness, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving and unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. For this is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things created, and that of heaven and our earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. It's not about us, it's about him. It's not about what we want or what we're positioned that we would have a desire for. Like the disciples, they wanted to know who could sit in heaven on the right hand of Jesus. And Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. He says, you ask for things that you don't understand. Sometimes we pray for blessings in this church, and it's not wrong to pray for blessings. It's not wrong to pray that you get healed from sickness and none of these things. But the thing that we should be more concerned about is our spiritual life. We can be lame and halt and enter into heaven, but you can't enter into heaven with sin. And sometimes people think that because they're doing work for the Lord that they're okay. No. They said, Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we feed the sick? Didn't we take care and clothe those who didn't have any clothes? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I always was concerned about that because it would seem me to seem that they was doing things, but they were doing them for man. They were doing them for sight. They were doing them for, look what we did. Look what this church did. Look what this individual did like this. But God, he looks at the intent of the heart. Did you give it out of your heart? Did you really give that clothes to them people that they needed it? Did you take something out of your closet, or did you just take something you used to wear and you throw it to the side and then you want to give it away or whatever it might be? Did we give our best? When God asked us to give something, did we do our best? Did we do what he's called us to do? Not give the leftovers, but give the first fruit. God's looking for a heart that loves people. No matter who they might be, how they might dress, how they might come about, just doing things on their own. But God looks at us as the instrument that can touch somebody's heart and be healed and be saved. We are that vessel, and ought to be proud of being that vessel that we can be according to his word. It says, and he is before all things, and by him it all things consist. And he is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead in all things, that he might have it preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, talking of Jesus. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him, I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. Whew. In the body of his flesh, though death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's the Lord providing us opportunity to get into the holies of holies. Which you have heard and which we have preached to every creature which is under heaven. Well, in verse 23, and if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, and therefore Paul made a minister. There was that little caveat right at the end where it says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled. That's the way we have to be. We have to be steadfast. What it says, set my face like flint, to be determined that that's what we're going to do, that we're going to live the life of what Christ has called us to do and called us just to be. And that's why he gives us those angels to be around us. Those angels keeps us from getting hurt. I know that I'm not going to tell you that, but I'm just going to tell you something. There's been people who's been at death's door waiting for somebody to pull the trigger on, or somebody to put the knife to somebody's throat. Some kind of dangerous deals. It might have been a wreck. You see the damage and carnage that happened. Had you been 30 seconds before that one, that would have been you. Those kind of things that happen, and they happen more regular than we'd like to admit sometimes. But I'm telling you what, if we'll be just put settled in the joy of the Lord and do what he's called us to do, it said nothing formed against us shall prosper. But even if it does, it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. And I tell you right now, I'm ready for the judgment. I'm ready. I've made my peace with the Lord, and I intend to live it all the days of my life. And I think everybody in this building has made that same decision, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. You wouldn't. That's kind of blunt, but it's the truth. there used to be a commercial, and it was about Wolf Brand chili. And you might ask, well, what does that got to do with what we're talking about? Because in that commercial, the guy says, asked, how long has it been since you've had a good steaming hot bowl of Wolf Brand chili? And you clink, well, that's not enough. If it's not enough for a bowl of chili, Lord, 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 I just thank you right now, Lord, for that. I thank you, Jesus, right now, Lord. Lord, how long has it been since we've been in the holies of holies? I'm not talking about in the part where you got your laver of water on the outside, and you got your altar where you come in and you got your instruments for service to the Lord. We do that on a regular basis. Mike, he leads praise and worship. I know that y'all do some different things too. Bubba, he works a lot behind the scenes. You play up here on the instruments. All of these things are going together. But I'm telling you, those are just services for the Lord and give you pleasure in that regard. But how many times have we been into the holies of holies? How many times here, or when was the last time that you got into the holies of holies where you had the snot running out of your nose because you was so in tune with the Lord and you were crying and shaking and letting the Lord have his way with you, and you were sitting in the back, no distractions coming your way where you could totally focus up on the Lord? How many days has it been since you've had one of those? Has it been one day? Have we been in that holies of holies 2 days ago? What about 3 days ago? What about a month ago? How much for a quarter of a year has it been since you've been in that holies of holies, totally surrendered to the Lord and giving your life to him in a different way than you've ever given it before? Understanding more than you ever understood about the Word of God, how it just ingrains itself inside of your body and how it ingrains the will of God to do what he's called us to do, and it gives a clear definition of, you don't have to guess. I just really would like somebody to tell me the will of God and what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you something. You get in that holies of holies and you get in there right and you stay in it, you'll find out what you need to do. You won't have to have somebody tell you, well, I've got a word for you that. That word that somebody tells you that, it ought to confirm what you've already been doing. It shouldn't be something somebody comes up, if you hadn't got ready for it or whatever else and you're not even thinking about it, and somebody comes up and says, I got a word for you, but be careful. I've had people speak to me about a word that wasn't even on my think list. I didn't dismiss it on the out, but I had to pray about it and found out that word apparently got mixed up. But you won't have to worry about it if you get in there into the holies of holies and let God do his work for you. Put his name on you. Put his mark on you. Let you know that you're his. It said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When Jesus speaks, do you come to him? Do I come to him? Do I lift him up and bleat like a sheep so that Jesus can hear me? Have you been the one that was one of the 99, the escapee that went his own ways and the good shepherd had to go and get him, and you come back kicking and screaming, but the Lord had mercy upon you and got you out of the briar patches and put you back where you needed to be? Or were you the prodigal son that wanted to do his own way, thinking that he would be all right and he had more knowledge than his father? Come to find out he didn't. But by that time, all of his pride and all his self-worth that he thought he was gone. That he would come back to his father's house to be a servant. But his father had mercy upon him and put a ring and a robe on him and killed a fatted cow or calf. Our Lord is not there to beat you up or beat anyone else up, but he's there to point you in the right direction. And I can't iterate this any better or any stronger than what I'm fixing to say. We need to be actively seeking the Holy of Holies every day. I know that some days you might not feel it. You may be dry as a bone. And sometimes we just got to walk through the desert to get to the water. It's not pleasant sometimes walking through those dry places. I'm walking through a dry place right now, but I don't care. There's many that can do this. Word that I give you could do it and could do it a lot better. But I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and do what he's called me to do. Whether it sounds good to one or sounds good to 1,000, that's the way I'm going to be with the Lord. The Lord has helped us, and we're bearing fruit in certain places. We're on our little outreach clinics, or whatever you want to call it. And God's blessed us. And it wouldn't have been possible without prayer. And this church right here, without prayer, would just be a building with some people in it. There's people up there praying, and they're building a fort. They're building a war room. I'm looking for any day for all that to just open up. And Sister Pam and them's going to levitate right down to the here, because they're. If you want to know the real power of this church, it's in that prayer room. And I'm not downing anybody. I'm just telling you right now, there's nothing more important to God except that he hears the cry of his children. It takes something sometimes to get God to move, but when the children of Israel cried out, it said God heard and sent a deliverer. And that's the same way it is in our life with the way we are right now. We have to develop that, and sometimes we got to really cry out to the Lord, and he will come and hear you and listen to you. But there has to be some changes in your heart and demeanor. If you want God to come, then there's other things that you have to do to if you keep my statutes and my commandments. The Lord says you love me if you keep my commandments, and if you keep my commandments, you love me. Those are things that are real. I hope that, I know I could have done this better, it could have been done better, but I did it the best I could. And I would just like to challenge us to get more into that prayer room. We might get stuck in the part where we do service to the Lord for a little while, but eventually we're going to break through. Brother Scott said that many times, said we need to get in a place where we're not bothered by others, not distracted by the things of life, and get into it. That's why he comes up here and prays for about an hour, just walking here and touching the Lord. He don't get up here and just get anointed one day and just say that. He probably does, but the rest of us would have to walk around here praying. And it's because he's dedicated his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the same way. You know, well, you say, I work at a job doing this. You can work at a job and still get blessed by the Lord. And in the process, you might win souls wherever you're at. You don't have to beat them over the head with a book. You just got to love on them. Sometimes you got to sympathize with some people to let them know that you care and you understand. You don't compromise. Never compromise the Word of God. But also don't take an opportunity just because somebody may have done you wrong to feel justified in doing them wrong also. God said, yeah, we got to pray for those who despitefully use you. I'm trying to quit, but I can't. Well, I know where my joy comes from, and I know who loves me. He loved me when I didn't even know him. He loved me when I willfully, more or less looked him right in the eye and says, I ain't changing. But yet he stuck with me. How awesome is that? He's got a call for each and every one of us. I don't know what your call is. You have to find, like I said, I challenge us to get into the holiest of holies and find out what God wants you to do. And see how powerful this church, not because it's Oak Grove Harvest Assembly, but because it's going to be the presence of the Lord there, people seeking after God in a way that they've never seen before. That when we walk through them doors, we may not be just reminiscing with it, hey, what was happened last week or what last Tuesday or last Thursday or Friday. None of that. It might be people head straight down to these altars down here. Instead of talking, they might be praying. I know we don't, and I'm not about going back into a long time ago, but used to when you went to a church, there were people at the altar before the church ever started. And I'm not saying that's what you got to do, because God will let you know if you feel compelled to come down here, feel compelled to do it and do it also. You know, one time, and I won't say why I did it, but I was doing some things and I thought other people ought to do it the same way. I'm not hard-headed or anything like that. I'm subject to change after about 2 years or more. But I thought they ought to be doing it different. And I was just at the point where I was fixing to tell them. And God slapped me and says, they can worship the way they worship. These are my people, not yours. And he, yes, sir. Yeah, I will. And I told Brother Wayne that about after 5 or 6 years or more. And he didn't cut me no slack. He just said, that ain't your job. And he wasn't saying it like, he had some, there was a tone behind it that told me for sure God, he was speaking on God's behalf, I believe, that I was not in charge. I was not one that should be making decisions or suggestions even. The same way I did. I'm just going now. But anyway, has anybody got anything they want to say? Testify, sister. Thank you.
for praying for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you above. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, above.
Yes.
That's my daughter. Praising her, God.
Amen.
Praising her, yes. Lord. And I know she's going to be in church. He got her. And he just comforted me. And then he was good enough to reassure me, told her to write me. And let me know that, hey, she holds him and he holds her. He's got her under his wing.
Amen.
Woo,
yes,
he's protecting her.
That's right.
Where she's at, she's amongst people that want her because she's teeny tiny and their minds ain't right. They want to have sex with the women. These lesbians, and they threaten her and they take her credits or they take her things from her or else. And I encourage her to pray. I don't sit down and say, oh, baby, I'm worried about this. Oh, baby, I'm... No, I pray, and I encourage her to pray.
Amen.
Yes. And I encourage her to turn to her God Almighty.
Amen.
And find his way. He will let her know. He opens all windows and doors for her. He is not abandoning her.
That's
He's
right.
not leaving her struggling. He don't have her in this place. Yes, she's in this place because she put herself in the things she did. But guess what? There's somebody in there that wants to hear what Jesus has to say. She's a vessel to give that to somebody in the house. Y'all.
Yes.
Yes, she is, and
That's
she
right.
will. She's bold enough to do it. That's my kid.
That's right. That's right. Anybody else got a testimony? All right. Well, I'm going to pray over us and I'm going to dismiss. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me today, oh God, to be faithful and do what you called me to do. Lord, I ask you just to bless this congregation, bless this church, bless the people that's in it. But Lord, more than that, bless the community that's in this place. Lord, that we would find opportunities to speak to those who are doing things they shouldn't be doing. Lord, we would act with mercy and compassion toward those people, oh God. Lord, they would be on our hearts and we would remember, oh God, and not just pass by. Lord, we would look for opportunities and not just shirk and try to hide and run away from them, but Lord, actively try to find them. Lord, let us look for your presence and those around us, oh God. Rejoice together and speak of brotherly love toward one another. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, my.